morning and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and we're live for a half hour each weekday morning just to talk to you and hear from you about the subjects that come to your mind that you have maybe perplexity about, your questions you have about the Bible. In your own Bible reading, there are no doubt things that you wonder about. I know I do. And in fact, I'm thoroughly convinced that if someone says they have no questions about the Bible, it just means they haven't been reading it lately, because it's, to my mind, impossible to read the Bible with clarity of mind and not see things that create some confusion or difficulty. That doesn't mean it's a flaw in the Bible. It's actually a flaw in our own understanding. You know, the Bible is the oldest book that most of us will ever read. It's written, to a culture and in a language and in a time frame and a geographical area that we totally are unfamiliar with for the most part. Those of us who are not trained in studying ancient documents, it's amazing we can get anything out of the Bible at all. But the truth is, we do. The truth is that even though the Bible is so culturally removed from us in time and geography and language and so forth, yet we manage to kind of get the basic message without too much difficulty. But it is no surprise that there are details and things in the Bible that are difficult for us because we're coming from an entirely different cultural, historical background. However, most of those difficulties can be overcome. I think some of them cannot. I actually think there are some things in the Bible we may never understand until we go to be with the Lord. And that's because I think it was not mandatory that we understand them. I think there's some things that are obscure, some things that the Bible alludes to that we may never get the backstory on. But I think that's the exception rather than the rule. For the most part, when you read the Bible, there's either things that you can understand easily or things that you can understand with difficulty. The smallest number of things are the things you can't understand at all. But we can work on the things that, and what we plan to work on this show day by day, is to work on the things that you can understand with some difficulty. Things that are obvious, you don't have to ask about. Things that can't be known, I can't answer. But things that take some, some thought, some research, some that are a little difficult to understand, we can maybe help out in some of those areas. So if you have questions about the Bible or the Christian faith, feel free to call me. If you have a difference of opinion, as many of our listeners do, and I just take that in stride, I assumed that if we have thinking listeners, and I know we do have intelligent listeners out there, that some of them will be thinking for themselves and won't simply agree with what I say. Although I hope they won't simply agree with what someone else says either. I hope that we'll all go back to the Word of God and study it out like the Bereans did. Hear what somebody has to say and then search the Scriptures and see if that's so. That's, I think, the balance of Christian learning and growth. So, you're welcome to disagree with me. You're welcome to tell me why. And I don't mind my listeners hearing your side of the story, because the purpose of this program is not to showcase the host's personal opinions. The purpose of the program is to have open, honest, and intelligent dialogue about things that matter in the Bible and in the Christian faith. So give me a call if you'd like. Here's the number. It's 1-800-227-5278. That's 1-800-227-5278. And I'll mention this again. I've been mentioning it all week. I do this when we have weekend gatherings in Southern California. I usually use the whole week of programs beforehand to let people know about it. Tomorrow night, I'll be speaking in Yorba Linda. And I'll be speaking on the topic of the four views of Revelation. Now, I have a book out called Revelation Four Views, a Parallel Commentary. It's been out since 1997, and it's about 600 pages long. And if you want to really get into this subject, you can get the book. But I'm not selling books, and I don't care if you don't buy the book. If you want to get the information, the basic information, and understand what the four views are without putting out the bread to buy the book, feel free to come on out. This is a free gathering. It's for any of our listeners interested. In Yorba Linda, I'll be talking tomorrow night about the four views of Revelation. The information about location, there's even a map at our website at thenarrowpath.com. You go there and click the link that says announcements, and you'll find that. You'll also find, if you go there, where I'm speaking Saturday. Now, tomorrow night I'm speaking in Yorba Linda. Saturday I'm speaking in San Diego. And that information can also be found at the website. Again, it's thenarrowpath.com. At the gathering in San Diego, I'll just be holding an open Q&A, just like we do here on the air. And you're welcome to join us there if you're in the San Diego area. That's Saturday. So Friday night, Yorba Linda. Saturday night, San Diego. And both meetings are explained in detail, location, map, and all of that, at our website, thenarrowpath.com, at the link that says announcements. Susan from Ventura, California, is our first caller today. And if you'd like to be on the program, the number is 1-800-227-5278. Susan, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling. I'm not hearing Susan, but I've activated her line, so maybe we needed to have her volume up or something. Susan, are you there? My guess is that Susan is talking, and I'm not hearing because of some kind of a switch that needs to be thrown somewhere in the studio. Any help there? Okay. Susan, hang in there, and I'm sure we'll figure out what our problem is here, I hope. Oh, there we go. I think we've got you. Susan, are you there? Somebody's there. Hello, Susan.
Hello. Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Sorry for the problem.
Hi. Yes, I want to ask you, where can I find in Scripture or the verses that speak about when we get to heaven, if we're going to know each other in some form or way? And,
I'll tell you what, there's really not very many scriptures that talk much about what goes on in heaven.
Okay.
But there's a little bit there. I mean, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that when that which is perfect has come, which we might associate with the second coming of Christ, yes, says, then we will know as also we are known. Now, he says today, right now, we know in part. That means we don't know everything. But when the Lord comes, then we will know as we are known. Our knowledge will not be less but more than now. It will not be diminished but increased. For that reason, I believe that if I knew somebody in this life, I'll probably know them in the next life too. How we will know them, I'm not sure, because it's very possible we'll look different than we look now. Actually, I certainly hope I look different for eternity than I look now. And therefore, people who know me might not know me by sight, because I'll be really buff then. I'll be real handsome and real buff in heaven. But and so no one will recognize me. But, no, they'll recognize me by some other means. Just like, you know, when Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, they had been gone a long time. And nobody living at that time had ever seen them in their lifetime. And yet the disciples recognized them. They knew it was Moses and Elijah. How did they know? I really don't know. But, you know, there is such a thing as knowing things by revelation from God. And like I said, Paul did indicate that we will know more, not less, mm-hmm, once we are, you know, in the presence of God. So I don't think there's a specific reference to knowing our loved ones. And actually, some people kind of hope that they'll forget their loved ones in the next life because some of their loved ones may not be in heaven, and mm-hmm, it'd be a lot nicer to forget them if they're mm-hmm not. But all I can say is what little we are told in Scripture. The impression I have is that when we see Jesus, it will not be a diminishing of what we know, but an increase of what we know. The verse I was referring to is in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12.
Verse 12. Okay.
All right.
Yes. Can I ask you just one more question?
Of course.
Is it true that when Moses died, that Satan and the angel were fighting over his body? Or
there is a reference to that in Jude, verse 9. It says that the angel, the archangel, Michael, disputed with Satan over the body of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And rather than bringing a railing accusation against Satan, the Archangel Michael simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, we have no knowledge of that event mm-hmm. outside of the book of Jude, and where Jude got that knowledge might be asked, since the Old Testament doesn't tell us that. But there was a story about that in a book that now is no longer available. The early Christians knew about it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Eusebius in the early 4th century mentioned that Jude is referring to a story from a book that is called The Assumption of Moses. Now, you have to realize that in addition to the books that are in our Bible, there were a lot of other Jewish religious books that were written, especially in the years just prior to Jesus coming. And they were not inspired books. That's why they're not in our Bible. Some of them don't even exist anymore. They were popular at one time, but they've just disappeared. They have not been preserved through the centuries. However, I believe Eusebius, it was, did have access to that book. And it has sometimes since his day, you know, passed out of availability. We don't have it anymore. But he said that the story about the Archangel Michael arguing with Satan over Moses' body came from a book called The Assumption of Moses. Now, that's what we call an apocryphal book. And in an apocryphal book, which is not inspired, it's hard to know whether it's a true story or not. Now, the fact that Jude quotes it would cause many people to conclude, of course it's a true story. Jude wouldn't quote it if it wasn't a true story. And they may be right. But Jude also quotes from other apocryphal material, like the book of Enoch. And it's very possible, and I don't say this is the case because I really don't know. We don't have any Old Testament authority on this. But it's possible that the story was a popular myth from the book of the Assumption of Moses, and that Jude and all his readers knew that, but that he was referring to it to show the good example of the angel Michael, just like we might refer to something from some Christian fiction that everybody has read. I often think of Pilgrim's Progress, which is a widely read Christian book. We might give an example in a sermon about some, you know, how Christian was in the dungeon of the giant despair, and he remembered the key of promise, and the key of promise opened the doors to the dungeon, and he escaped from despair and despondency. And, you know, you could use that as a sermon illustration without really assuming that there really was a guy in a dungeon of a giant with a key in his pocket. I mean, it's a well-known story, well-known to Christians, especially earlier generations of Christians than our own, because our generation doesn't read much. But, you know, it's in a Christian book that is not inspired and which is not telling a historical account, but where the behavior of the characters, in a sense, becomes exemplary for Christians. And many times, I believe, sermons do include such stories without intending to confirm that they are historical. And it is possible that Jude is doing that. If indeed there was a true encounter between Michael and Satan and a dispute over the body of Moses, we have no idea what the nature of that dispute was, because, like I said, elsewhere the Bible makes no reference to it.
Mm-hmm. Steve, thank you so much. You're so knowledgeable, and I thank God for you. And God bless you.
Well, I thank God for our callers and our listeners. God bless you. Thank you for calling. You too. Bye now. Okay, our next caller today is Alicia calling from Carlsbad, California. Alicia, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. My question's a little complicated, and you don't know the person, but they call themselves a non-practicing Catholic. I know they were an altar boy. He was an altar boy when he was little or something, but and he's from France. So obviously liberal attitudes and things like that, and very highly intellectual person. But whenever I try and talk to him about the Lord, and obviously I care a lot about this person, I maybe consider marrying them, and maybe that's, you know, I'm asking the Lord all the time maybe I'm just supposed to be his friend and help lead him to have a true heartfelt surrender to the Lord, you know, because I don't think he really knows him, except intellectually he can answer certain questions like, you know, is Jesus alive or dead, or, you know, he says he's a sinner and all that. But, you know, when I tried to ask him the alive or dead question, he said, well, he's alive. And then he said he's a spirit. And I started to try to explain to him that he's more than just a spirit, because a lot of people think of God as this kind of universal unknowable thing, but she's different. And I'm, you know, he, so every time I talk to him, he tries to go into, you know, well, what the Christians did to the Native Americans and what they did in the Spanish Inquisition. And, you know, I'm, that's not Jesus. Jesus didn't say that we force people to be saved. You know, that's not representing him. And he says, well, they're saying all the same things that you say. And, you know, and then we ended up talking about Islam, and I tried to, you know, he told me that I caricaturized the religion. And I said, no, it's kind of like talking about somebody who doesn't read the whole Bible. If they don't read the whole of the Quran and they don't kill infidels, then they're really not following what it says. It does say that. And there's nowhere in the Bible where it says to kill people if they don't believe. So it's very different.
So what is your question for me?
Well, the question is, you know, what, I mean, that's a very complicated subject to get into, but you know, hopefully there's a simpler way to turn this.
Yeah, there's a really simple way. If somebody wants to compare Christianity with Islam, and they want to focus primarily on the bad things that were done by people who profess Christianity, what we need to point out is that jihad, which is, of course, what the Muslim religion teaches, is actually found and is commanded by Muhammad in the Quran, although there are also passages in the Quran which talk about being, you know, tolerant of other religions. The Quran seems to have more than one voice with which it speaks, but certainly those who are, you know, committing acts of jihad can claim very reasonably to have the Quran as the basis of their behavior. And whatever Muhammad may have taught, he practiced jihad. I mean, he led the armies of his followers against Mecca. He, you know, he slaughtered enemies of his with his own hand, with his own sword.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in other words, when people who are doing these things in the name of Islam are doing so, they're actually imitating Muhammad and doing what they can find good warrant for in their holy book. Now, when people who call themselves Christians go out and do atrocities, they're doing what their leader told them not to do. They're not imitating anything Jesus did, and they're not obeying what he said. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So it is true that lots of people who commit atrocities claim to be Christians, and they would suggest that their doctrines are probably very similar to ours. They probably believe in the Trinity, and they believe in various things that we would agree with. They believe in heaven and hell and all that. But they're not following Jesus. That's the point. Christianity, as Jesus set it up, did not consist in belonging to an institution called Christianity. It involved becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, then you are truly my disciples. So only those who really follow what Jesus said are truly his disciples. And by the way, the word Christian, it was coined in Acts 11:26 to describe disciples. It says in Acts 11:26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So in the Bible, the word Christian only refers to people who are disciples of Jesus. And Jesus said disciples are those who continue in his words. So obviously, no matter what someone calls himself or herself, if they're not following Jesus, they're not what the Bible calls a Christian, not what we have to call a Christian. So Jesus said, there will be many in that day who will say to me, Lord, Lord, we did these great things in your name. He said, I'll say to them, I never knew you. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? So if someone wants to point to the atrocities that were done in the Inquisition or in the conquest of this country from the Native Americans or any other number of things, or even, you know, the church elder who cheated them in business, or the pastor who ran off with the secretary or whatever. I mean,
you can point to
a lot of things that people who call themselves Christians have done wrong, but you can't blame Jesus for that. And since I'm not asking anyone to become a fake Christian, well, then the actions of fake Christians don't have any impact on what I'm asking people to do. You know, if there's hypocrites, well, don't be a hypocrite. You know, I'm not asking anyone to be a hypocrite. If I call people to follow Jesus Christ, it's irrelevant to point to people who don't follow Jesus Christ and say, well, they're bad people. Well, I'd say, you're right. You're right. People who don't follow Jesus are bad people. So that's why I'm asking you to follow Jesus Christ and not be a bad person like that. Not like that.
Yeah, except he thinks that when I ask him who goes to hell, I finally one day just asked him, well, who goes to hell then? Because, you know, I told him you either choose life or death. He said, well, you can't just throw everybody else away. And I said, well, who goes to hell? And he said, people who follow Christian principles. And I've tried
people
to
who follow Christian principles go to hell?
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, I'll tell you this.
People who don't follow Christian principles. And I've tried to explain to them that Christ did all that for us, so we just have to, we can't be successful at living like Christ alone.
Alicia, my lines are full and I'm running out of time, but let me just say, if you're thinking about marrying this man, I think I'd hold off because he obviously is not on the same page spiritually with you, and I think you'd probably have a very difficult life being married to somebody. He may profess to be a Christian. I don't know if that's what he professes or not, but he clearly is not, he doesn't have the same commitment and faith that you do.
No.
And I think you'd have a great deal of trouble in a marriage like that. And of course, we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. I can't say what his exact state is before God, since I don't know all of his beliefs. But I think you ought to be very careful before entering into marriage with somebody who's got those kinds of disagreements. Let's talk to Yvette from Rancho Cucamonga.
Hi,
hello, Yvette. Welcome to the Narrow Path.
Joy. Anyway, I just want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to you on the radio, okay? What happened to the descendants of Joseph? You know, he had two sons, right? Manasseh and Ephraim. Can you tell me what happened to them, and where's the reference in the Bible? Were they rulers too, or, you know, were they prominent in the society, in the time that they live in? Okay. Thank you so much, Steve.
Okay, Yvette.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. Well, the two sons of Joseph became tribes. They were grandsons of Jacob, but Jacob adopted them as full sons. And therefore they received an inheritance along with the other sons of Jacob, which were the other 11 tribes. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh, half of the tribe of Manasseh settled on the east side of Jordan, and they and the other tribes over there were eventually kind of wiped out by invaders, and they didn't exist anymore over there. Half of the tribe of Manasseh was in the Promised Land. And probably a lot of them, survived. Even when the Assyrians wiped out the northern kingdom, there were 10 tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh among them, that belonged to the northern confederacy after the splitting of the nation of Israel into two nations. And eventually, a lot of the people from the 10 tribes migrated down south to become part of the nation of Judah. And therefore, when the northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians, some people from all the other tribes continued to exist in Judah. But the northern kingdom was defeated by Assyria. And you read about that in 2 Kings chapter 17. And most of the people of those tribes, including Ephraim and Manasseh, were carried off into captivity. And eventually, those tribes seemed to have intermarried and mixed with the pagans, so that their tribal integrity, we could say, broke down. That is, you won't really find somewhere in the world today people who are purely descended from Ephraim or Manasseh, though some individuals no doubt continued to, intermarry with other Jews in Judah and became part of the nation of Judah. Today's Jews are not all from the tribe of Judah, because all Israel tribes who joined with the nation of Judah became called Jews after they mixed with the nation of Judah. Not all were of the tribe of Judah, but they became part of the nation of Judah. And so Judah was a mixed tribal group after that point. And Ephraim and Manasseh don't exist as separate groups. Now, did they become rulers? No. It was the people of the tribe of Judah that became king. Saul, the first king, was of the tribe of Benjamin. And all the other kings of Judah were of the tribe of Judah from David. Ed from Southern California. We don't have much time, I'm afraid. In fact, I might have to catch up. I hope not. Go ahead.
Hello?
Oh, maybe. Yes.
Hello?
Yes, speak quick, please. We're going to run out of time.
Okay, that's right.
Can you hear
Mark
me?
Mark chapter 3. Yes. Mark chapter 3, Jesus defends the actions of the disciples eating the grain from the Pharisees by citing the actions of David in 1 Samuel. And I've been studying 1 Samuel, and Jesus says a different name for the priest that was there, and also refers that the men were with David. Can you comment on that?
Right. In Samuel, it doesn't mention men who were with David. But
no.
David apparently joined with men. He apparently joined with men after he took the showbread, and he must have taken some of it with him because Jesus mentions those that were with David. They weren't with him at the tabernacle, apparently, but they were with him as confederates, apparently. They were on his side, and they fled from Saul along with him. So they were with him in that sense. Now, it's true in Mark chapter 3, Jesus names Abiathar as the high priest at the time. And he was not the high priest. At the time. His father was high priest at the time, and Abiathar escaped when Saul killed the sons of the priests and became a priest and a friend of David's. I think it's possible that when Jesus mentioned Abiathar, the high priest, he's speaking proleptically. What I mean is Abiathar was not the priest at that time, but he was alive at that time, and he later became the high priest. It might be like if we would say, you know, President George Washington, when he was a boy, chopped down a cherry tree. Well, we've just called him President George Washington, but he certainly wasn't president when he was a boy. We're speaking proleptically. The boy who chopped down the cherry tree later was known as President Washington. So we speak about him as President Washington in retrospect. Abiathar later became the high priest, and therefore it would be possible to speak of him as the high priest in speaking about something in his life before he was the high priest. This is not an uncommon way of speaking. I'm sorry I'm out of time. I wish I could go further on this, but I'm going to be cut off in about 20 seconds. I do appreciate your call. You've been listening to The Narrow Path. We are a listener-supported ministry. If you'd like to help us stay on the air, you can go to our website, thenarrowpath.com. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk again tomorrow. God bless you.
Hello, and thanks for joining us this morning here on KBright AM 740 to listen to Steve Gregg answer your questions about important things about your faith or about the Bible or something that you don't understand. This is a live, interactive call-in program that we all look forward to every day. And we want to be able to turn on that radio and hear Steve at 9:30 every day. And if you're a KBright listener, then we are hoping that you know what that will take. That will take some participation and some support for Steve's ministry and for him to be able to be on the air here on KBright. As Steve puts it, we need help paying those radio bills. So please go to Steve's website, thenarrowpath.com, and you'll find a place there. It's very easy to see, and you can just click on that icon and give safely and securely at thenarrowpath.com. However, if you don't want to give online and you'd rather call in a donation or some other way, please call KBright for that additional information so you can do it that way. Call us at 800-227-2337. That's 800-227-2337. And don't forget, Steve is speaking in Yorba Linda this coming Friday and in San Diego on Saturday. And for more information, go to Steve's website, thenarrowpath.com.
KBRT has a current opening for a temporary part-time receptionist at our Costa Mesa offices. You must possess excellent communication skills, have the ability to be diplomatic, and be detail-oriented. We have a job fair coming up this Friday, June 27th, with drop-in interviews going from 10 to noon. Bring your resume to 3183 Airway Avenue, Suite D in Costa Mesa. Again, interviews for the temporary part-time receptionist will be given between 10 a.m. and noon this Friday, and you can be seen without an appointment at 3183 Airway Avenue, Suite D in Costa Mesa.
At 50,000 watts, this is Southern California's most powerful Christian station, KBRT and KBRT HD Costa Mesa, and on the web at KBRT740.com.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series entitled Learning to be Led by the Holy Spirit. How do you feel your life is right now? Is it fulfilled and accomplished, or is it incomplete and you're looking for direction? No matter how you feel, God is always there ready to help, and He sent His Holy Spirit to help you as well.
Jesus told his disciples of the Holy Spirit and that he was sending him to comfort and give them strength as they journey through life. Even after all these years, the Holy Spirit is still here, and he wants to do the same for you. But how do you let the Holy Spirit lead? In today's teaching, Joyce will share with you just how to invite him into everything that you do and to never feel like you have to walk through life alone again. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching, Learning to be Led by the Holy Spirit.
We are talking this weekend about the wonderful, wonderful, amazing present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And how Jesus said, it's going to be better for you, he said to his disciples, it's going to be better for you if I go away, because if I go away, then I'll send the Holy Spirit. What a statement. I'll send the Holy Spirit to be in close fellowship with you. You see, Jesus was with them, but the Holy Spirit was now going to come and live in them. It's like I said last night, with is good, but in is better. Amen? The closer, the better. I'm sure glad when I need God, I don't have to go look for him. I don't have to try to find him anywhere. He's as close can get.